When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Gather round, and let us listen to a tale of a base on the moon whose time is coming to an end. You'll hear the transmissions of the communication officer as the clock ticks down to zero, but the end is only the beginning. Moonbase Theta Out from Monkey Man Productions is the kind of science fiction that pulls you in and doesn't let go. You can find their website at the link in the description, but we're going to listen to a specially edited compilation of some of the key scenes from seasons 1 and 2. Once we're done, I implore you to go start back at the beginning. You won't regret it. Enjoy, and be sure to let them know that the Wanderer sent you when you leave a review.
This is a teaser episode for the first and second seasons of Moonbase Theta Out, giving you a peek at how the shutdown sequence started for our main crew. Then a rogue transmission offers a glimpse at how things are really going down on Earth, and we flash forward to Roger to see how it all ends. Or does it? If this special piques your interest, you can listen to the whole shutdown sequence unfold, along with what comes after, in your favorite podcast app or at monkeymanproductions.com.
Broadcasting, this is Roger Brigado Fisher, Communications, Moonbase Theta. The date is August 4th, 2098. We are now at 20 weeks before base shutdown. According to guidelines, the majority of our crew has gone into stasis to conserve resources. Still awake from our 42-person complement are myself, Nessa Chong, Agriculture.
I can feel myself starting to separate a bit. Hear that voice in my head telling me to close it all off. Focus on the life I'm returning to. Insulate myself and sleepwalk through the last 13 weeks. But I'm going to reject that. I feel those urges. I accept where they've come from, and that they're a part of me. Now I'm sending them packing. I won't spend the last 3 months of my life on the moon with my eyes shut. I'm going to experience and share and be here for my friends and grow what I can. Grow where I can, and not let go until the very last moment. The hibiscus are still lovely. I'll save them for as long as I can. I'll save it all for as long as I can.
Ashwini Ray, Astrophysics.
But do they care? Do they let the data linger before their eyes? All I hear is automation, automation. Set things up on their own and get thee to a stasis pod. Data and flesh both stored away in case they meet some future economic need. They want me to leave it all in your hands. Well, the equivalency.
I will perform my programming adequately.
Luckily, they don't know that you're secretly on my side.
I'm not sure I can be on a side. My functions are accessible to anyone who holds the passwords.
Never mind. Just keep doing what you're doing, friend. I'll take care of the plans and the plotting. That is why I hide away in my secret lair, after all. Well, that and my fellow Moonbasians sucking in every way humanly possible. I know how they talk about me. That Ashwini hides away in Seer Observatory, talking to fantasy creatures. What a flake. What a nut. What a whole kooky cereal bowl.
Michelle Langlois, Security.
Music up. Door double locked. Remove my location from base tracking. Take me off the radar. Ugh. Fucking body armor. Couldn't let me bring my own. There's full kit stored on base. Not with my binder built in, assholes. Oh shit, that's better. Personal report continues, code word encryption. It's week 6 on base Theta, replacing officers Deer, Daniels, and Hartman. At least that means I've got room to stretch out. They must have spent most of their time monitoring from here. I've got eyes and ears on every sector. I'm keeping an ear on the chatter around base. It doesn't sound like they've known much of what's really going on. We'll see how things shake out. They could all be in the mines before long. I'd love to see that comm lead do a real day's work. Broadcasting, this is Roger Bergado Fisher, professional blowhard.
And Wilder, base maintenance.
That's right, darling. You know you're gorgeous. Crush that pop can there for me. That's what I'm talking about. Honey Badger ain't got nothing on us. We don't care. Now, hang on, I'm forgetting a thing. What is it? Not the mining stuff. That's all sorted out. Not that insulator coil. Stasis pods. The piece of shit stasis pod lights that I can't diagnose, and they won't give us the manuals, and ugh, I am so tired of banging my head against that it's not even funny. Actually, banging my head on them is the one thing that I haven't tried. Might be worth a shot. Headbutt to the auxiliary control panel. Bam! Oh, man. I don't know why that's so funny. Maybe I got a whiff of Operation Pixie earlier after all. Well, back to it, I guess. This place won't keep itself running.
Tasks for the shutdown sequence are outlined in the memo approved by senior management. These will be assigned as they best suit each team member and include the ramping down of all mining operations, closing down all active experiments, and saving off data. All active crew will also take shifts monitoring the stasis pods, as we have already noted some variations in the reports. We'd like to request the full shutdown logs from bases Alpha through Eta to see if they experienced any of the same. Naturally, we're all looking forward to waking up safe and sound back on Earth. We appreciate you making this a priority. We would have accessed the information directly, but our link to the bases on the near side remains broken. I'd like to take an inspection tour of the microwave transmission towers. Please see my requests of June 28th, July 12th, and August 1st. Michelle will not release the rover vehicle for my use without your signed approval, despite my numerous requests. Base operations remain within acceptable levels. Helium-3 stores are at 85%. Water is at 63%. These will continue to increase with mining at current levels. Food stores are sufficient, particularly now that there are only 5 of us to fight over the drumsticks, and 3 are vegan. Regarding your comment on my last transmission, if you review my employment contract, I am allocated 15 seconds of each broadcast for personal messages. My personal message is as follows. To my husband, Alessandra, I love you. Give Castor and Pollux a treat for me. I'll be coming home soon. Moonbase Theta, out. Broadcasting, this is Roger Bergado Fisher, Communications, Moonbase Theta. The date is August 11th, 2098. The time is 22:43. Base shutdown is at 19 weeks and counting. All tasks are moving forward on schedule, though with minor variations. There's been some dispute among the extant crew members over who holds responsibility for quality assurance and final task approval. Our management team, of course, went into stasis on your instructions, which left a certain vacuum. Perhaps in space you believe that was unavoidable, but it is becoming an issue, particularly in the monitoring of the telescopic arrays. Clarification is requested. With the reduction in active personnel, we've all been taking shifts in the observatory. Dr. Ray Schweeney is immersed in data analysis, particularly as deadlines loom in our schedule. They've even taken to sleeping in the chamber. We assist by monitoring the flow in real time, both from the radio antenna array and the multi-wavelength optical telescopes. Optical monitoring is, of course, only useful when observing closer and more erratic cosmic phenomena. We log variations for review, and if they are marked for follow-up, we alter our focus in that direction. And in theory, these decisions come from Ashwini as well, but a lot of it has been passed on to bots they've written into the network. Direct feedback or sign-off on our labor is non-existent. It has been intriguing, being brought up to speed on the radio array, learning to read the data, to be sitting hundreds of meters underground, the array spanning the breadth of the Daedalus crater above us. All of space filtered down in streams of numbers and correlations and profiles that spiral like the galaxies they reflect. Quasars, nebulae, the unbelievable mass of a black hole, invisible but radiant gas clouds. wavelengths too massive to measure through mirrors and glass. It's a magnificence unimaginable to the naked eye. Of course, it's my responsibility as communications to capture it all, both for reports and to use in crafting outgoing messages. But there have been issues. Michelle keeps inserting themselves into the process as if we all report to them, as if security and the natural order of things trumps science or necessity or beauty. Certainly, if we find evidence of an incipient alien invasion or encroaching development by a rival corporate entity, they'll be the first we alert. But otherwise, you see the issue. If you could provide a memo, perhaps, outline a reporting structure for these situations. I'm not suggesting that I be put in charge. I believe Dr. Ray is still capable, given proper motivation and reminders, to manage their area. Base operations remain within acceptable levels. Helium-3 stores are at 90% and are being converted and stored for transfer on the returning supply rocket. Water's at 60%, slight decrease due to an accident caused when the sewage tanks were vented directly to the surface. Please note the attached map and adjust your landing locations appropriately. Two final notes, both referring back to my previous transmission. First, we requested copies of the near-side base's shutdown logs for review. So far, our stasis pods have remained stable, but these would assist in reducing some significant safety concerns. Second, regarding my request for vehicle access to inspect and repair the microwave transmission towers, Michelle has informed me that this is now pending with security for approval. I'd ask you to reconsider and respond directly. Personal message follows from this point. Alessandra, I'm missing you terribly today. Pets to Cass and Paul. Have you been watching what they eat? You know how they get during squirrel season. You've been on my mind so often through the days, wishing I could share all this with you. Should we ever need to escape the strife on Earth, I've claimed a nebula in your name. The mathematics are absolutely lovely. Moonbase Theta, out.
Address to Roger Brigado Fisher, Consortium Enclave Rio, Moonbase Theta. No subject line. Message body as follows. My dear, beloved, tapado, frustrating husband. I'm really trying to be sweet and funny as I should the steadfast partner waiting patiently from home. But I am so goddamn furious with you, and I don't think I can keep up the charade, okay? Roger, love, what the hell? What in the hell are you doing up there? Cass, get down! Go play with your sister! I know you want to say hi to Roger, but he doesn't deserve you right now. I've put up with this for a whole year. A full year, counting when you left for training. You left, and you go up there, and it's 9 months. 9 months! And of course there are the sweet little I love you messages, reports about your day, but nothing substantial. I am trying to wait. I am giving you time, but even when you bring it up, you say, I'm sorry, we'll sort it out when I get home. And that makes sense. It'll be easier face-to-face, but then face-to-face suddenly becomes even further away, and I don't think I can wait any longer. You have to talk to me, baby. You have to give me something real to make it through. It took too long to find each other. I am not giving up, and I'm sure as hell I'm not letting you give up on me.
Good morning, occupants of the moon. This is Maudie Sarah, leader of the Three Rivers Cooperative Community. We're a humanitarian enclave originally founded under UN leadership, when there was a UN. We're not the only freehold left to welcome the stranger, but as far as we know, we're the largest left standing. While we stand. It's getting harder and harder down here. What with all the intramural squabbles between the major players? I'm sure you've seen the pattern. You must see halfway to God from where you're sitting. Zhengzhou, Shanghai, Philadelphia, D.C., Rio, Sao Paulo. It's all the same dance. They conglomerate, strip the land down to the bedrock, then look for the next green pasture. There are still pockets here and there where we don't have enough of what they need, resources or money to spend. But few places will take our coin. And it's not easy to raise your own crops. All the seed has that fertilizer lock built in and won't grow without it. And the water, we all know what's upstream. Send help. We need critical actions, rebellious thoughts, grassroots efforts. I don't know what life looks like on the moon, but here, it's not good, children. We're counting down.
Broadcasting. I'm sending this out on every frequency. My name is Roger Brigado Fisher. I was communications for Moonbase Theta, owned by the consortium managed by the Rio de Janeiro Enclave. Sorry, Rio Sao Paulo. Whatever they're calling themselves now. Whomever is left to make that call. If you receive this message, please forward to their attention and also to Alessandro Brigado Fisher, wherever they might be found. Alex, please be found. I need to know you're there. All I could think of coming back from the other side, staring through that viewport obscured by my breath, whilst all the night through fog smoke white glimmered the white moonshine. I found that in your book of poetry, the most appropriate selection yet. I am the ancient mariner, my eye so bright, my hand so brown. I didn't repair the communications towers. It seemed superfluous. I did, when I was back on this side, message ahead to tell them what I'd found. By the time I arrived, they'd already made their choice. I found 3 more active stasis pods, 3 sets of lights blinking in perfect time. Wilder actually went into stasis first. I can see it in the logs. They pushed too hard in the mines, and their arm just came apart all at once. They had to take medical. Ashwini and Michelle, I don't think they could see another way. I think they were afraid I'd talk them out of it. I can't blame them. I literally can't blame them. I don't have the equipment to wake them up to have an argument. The company knew what they were doing, only setting us up for half the process. Sometimes I argue with them anyway. I curse and shout and spit, just in case they can hear. They know what they did, leaving me to watch alone. I can see it on their faces. All fixed on me, their stony eyes that in the moon did glitter. I still go up to the surface a lot since coming back. I think about those messages I wrote for Ashwini, the ones to send out into space, into the black. Everyone was a failure. I couldn't figure out what to say or how to say it. I guess they should have sent a poet. What was I supposed to do? Invite them to be pen pals? Put out the welcome mat? Beg them to save us? Maybe I did. Maybe at the last possible minute, just when all hope is lost, a flying saucer will swoop down from the black. It could happen, right? Just like we might still reach down and save that freehold. It could happen. When I'm back down below, I stare at the station schematics. Crew quarters fully decommissioned, powered down. Laboratory areas, fully decommissioned, powered down. Hydroponic gardens, observatory, security offices, fully decommissioned, powered down. And I find my finger hovering over the power controls for the stasis pods. But I can't do that. I can't do that, Alessandra, or the poem really is about me. Alone, alone, all alone, alone on a wide, wide sea. And never a saint took pity on my soul in agony. Base operations report. Helium-3 stores are at 198%. Mining operations have ceased. Power usage is at a minimum. Water, food stores are unimportant. Personnel... 41 crew members in stasis awaiting retrieval, 1 crew member awake, 1 crew member remaining awake. The shutdown sequence is complete. Personal message. All of this has been a personal message. Every broadcast, to anyone who receives this, anyone left out there, particularly if your name is Alex and you're married to an ancient mariner. I pass like night from land to land. I have strange power of speech. That moment that his face I see, I know the man that must hear me. To him my tale I teach. Live and be well. Moonbase Theta, out.
Hello. Good morning. This is Maudie Sarah, chaplain and responsible citizen of the Patrick Free Zone, formerly of the Three Rivers Cooperative Community. Hail to anyone who hears this from the moon or beyond. We've been forced to relocate, but the community continues. Last message I sent, I told you we were counting down. It's 0:30 for Earth. Everything's coming apart. Late at night, even this far down, we can see the fires. We are no longer asking for help from the moon. What we hope to discuss are the ways we might help one another. As the world falls apart, the only solution is coming together. Surely with your management losing focus, you could use a new source of stability. Somewhere you could come home to. Yes, one of our more recent arrivals has a message to include as well. Though it's directed at only one person somewhere in the sky above. He was impossible to refuse.
Hajar? Hajar? No, Amado? Can you hear me? Tell me you're out there, baby. I've got one hell of a story for you.
This is not the end for Roger Brigado Fisher. Moonbase Theta Out is a story about finding things to hold on to, even when the odds feel astronomical. Seasons 1 and 2 follow the same 20-week countdown sequence from different perspectives, with official broadcasts and personal messages from the crew and Roger's husband on Earth. Seasons 3 and 4 take us past the operation's end and into the fight to hold on to life, on the Earth and on the Moon. Moonbase Theta Out is written by DJ Silvis, with Lehman Kessler as Roger Brigado Fisher, Echi Kasson as Maudie Sarah, and a cast of over 40 diverse voice actors from around the world. To learn more, visit us at monkeymanproductions.com or join us at patreon.com/monkeymanproductions for early access to every episode of our fourth and final season. And as always, keep watching the moon.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
You wake up startled in the middle of the night, convinced that there's something out there in the darkness. Your brain tells you that there's nothing to be afraid of, that the inhuman shape in the corner of your room is just your laundry piled on a chair. But as you hear the ghostly, ragged breathing that doesn't belong to you, you realize your brain is dead wrong. If you love the mix of horror, mystery, and comedy in shows like Buffy, Ash vs. the Evil Dead, or Supernatural, you'll feel right at home on The Crit Show, a Monster of the Week actual play podcast where the players, playing as themselves, are tasked with being the last line of defense from the forces of evil that go bump in the night. Join us every Wednesday and learn the games we play while the gang tries their best to solve the mysteries, hunt the monsters, and protect the innocent. Their intentions are good. Their dice rolls, not so much. You can find The Crit Show at thecritshowpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.